friends, welcome into First Take. I'm Christine Williamson here for Molly Karam. We've got a whole squad here today. Bart Scott, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Tannenbaum, and Adam Schefter. Here's Bart Scott, not sitting down. To start things off, make sure you stick around a little bit later because we have Iowa star Caitlin Clark joining us later in the show. How are you doing, Bart? You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Feeling a little rushed maybe this morning?
Never rushed. Always in a hurry.
Okay, let's start things off with the news that we got yesterday at 10:48 a.m. Eastern. Lamar Jackson broke the internet with the latest in his ongoing contract saga with the Baltimore Ravens. Jackson tweeted announcing that he had requested a trade from the team on March 2nd, and the timing couldn't have been more convenient as the tweet went out as Coach John Harbaugh sat down to speak with reporters at the NFL's annual league meeting. Now, the tweets said, in part, a letter to my fans. I want to first thank you all for all the love and support you have consistently shown towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions. In regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization for which the Ravens has not been interested in meeting my value. You all are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore Flock Nation and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh spoke to the media regarding his quarterback's tweets.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Do you anticipate him being your quarterback in week one?
I do. You know, you gotta plan for all the contingencies for sure, but I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player.
All right, there is Adam Schefter. Shefty, it's been almost 24 hours. What's the next move in this saga?
Well, the next move is really more of the same of what's gone on here. Is there a team that's willing to step out and sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet and try to work out a trade with the Baltimore Ravens? And so far that hasn't been the case, though clearly Lamar shook up the situation yesterday by announcing almost exactly 24 hours ago that he would like to be traded from Baltimore. That was a public and private plea to get him out of there. And that was certainly a different dynamic to the language and conversation that we've heard between the two sides. Now, up until now, it has been a soft market for him. There have not been many teams that have expressed interest in signing him to the type of deal that he's looking for. We did hear Indianapolis say yesterday it have to consider all options, but there are more teams that have quarterback questions and needs that are not interested in doing something. The Jets said they're focused on getting Aaron Rodgers. The Washington Commanders are not interested in making a move for Lamar Jackson. And so really you have to find a team, and there aren't many, that have a need at the quarterback position that can compensate the Ravens, that can accommodate Lamar's contract, and want to make this move. And there just are not a lot of those teams right now. Now, Indianapolis could decide to always do it, but here's how you have to consider it if you're the Colts. Do you want to pay Lamar $50 million a year, 4 years, $200 million? Or do you want to draft a quarterback at number four who's not nearly as proven and as accomplished as Lamar Jackson, but who would cost $34 million over 4 years compared to the $200 million that it might cost you to sign Lamar Jackson? Now, he has shown a willingness to take a non-fully guaranteed contract, or so some of his people say, but he's not come close to a deal with Baltimore. He has not come close to an offer sheet with another team. And so this continues to go on, this saga, and it looks like it will make the Aaron Rodgers drama in Green Bay look like it's moving fast.
All right. Certainly a lot to consider there for all parties. Thank you so much, Shefty. Okay, we bring in the guys. Bart Scott, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Tannenbaum joining us to talk through this a little bit. And, you know, you obviously heard what Shefty just said. Bart, I'm going to start with you on this situation. What should the Ravens do?
The Ravens don't have to do anything. I mean, they have his control. Lamar Jackson had more bargaining power last year if he would have decided not to step on the field. But because now the parameters, because of the new CBA, if Lamar Jackson holds out, it used to be that guys would hold out, they get fined, and the team would you know, replenish that fine once he came in. Now the CBA dictates that you can't do that anymore. So if he steps out, and those fines are brutal to kind of try and end holdouts. So the Ravens don't have to do anything because they're going to have Lamar Jackson leased for the next year. And then they have to panic because now you have to consider, do I want to franchise a player twice when I don't have controls after the second franchise tag and lose a great player for absolutely nothing? But as far as this year, Lamar Jackson has really put himself in a corner. That's why he had to come out with these comments, because it forced the Ravens and the brass of the Ravens to have to answer questions in a public setting because of the owners' meetings. But, you know, Lamar Jackson really has no leverage. He can do a sit-in where he comes in and says he's injured. He can say he's not going to go out there if he's not 100%. But then that's going to hurt his brand in the eyes of other teams that say, hey, if something doesn't go right, he's a guy that's going to cheat the game and not play even though he's healthy and try and fake an injury. So, you know, that messes up his brand. He loves football too much. This is similar to the Kevin Durant situation, where Brooklyn had all the leverage and Kevin Durant said, I wanted to be traded. But at the end of the day, they saying, if I can't get the value or I can't get some crazy deal, I'm not giving up a generational talent when I got you under control for another year.
Yeah, I just I see what you're saying there, Bart. Those are all great points. I mean, the timing of the tweet of Lamar, I think what he made publicly to a lot of other teams was, you know, just letting them know how he felt about the Ravens. I mean, I think he's sort of ventured in the area of taking things personally. And now when you're mentioning doing what's best for my family and how the Ravens, you know, minimized my value, Lamar isn't happy right now, and that's important for the league to know. I think they need to trade Lamar as quickly as possible, or get as much as they can from him because of what the result will be if he did go in there. I just can't imagine. I've had teammates that have played cornerback or defensive line that have had, you know, contract issues, and they were still able to play with a chip on their shoulder and compartmentalize things. And, you know, you just have a nice little cocoon when you play one of those positions, and it's like, all right, let's just get this year over with, and then I'm out of here. The quarterbacks just has so much to deal with it. And if last year, based on last year, if that's any indication of how Lamar is going to be, because I think he could have played last year. And then especially when there were playoffs on the line, and these were very meaningful games, but I totally understood why should I play if you're Lamar Jackson when this organization isn't committing to me as a player and they don't understand my value. So imagine having that for an entire season. And that's all I'm saying, because if I'm in the locker room and I see my quarterbacks not invested in terms of winning championships, it's almost like a lost year, and you're going to have to deal with drama and deal with the talk. And yeah, you're right, Bart. His brand will take a hit however he plays this. And does he play a little bit and then he ends up sitting himself down? It's going to look bad. But I think now with that tweet and everybody understanding what's going on, especially with Lamar seeing Kyler Murray last year get paid the amount of guaranteed money he got or whatever it was, and then he goes out and he hurts his knee, tears his ACL. Lamar's got to think of that also. What he's got to think too is, I'm 26 years old. I'll turn 27 in January, and I'll still have a lot of my prime years left. This is a year maybe I need to just play the game, play business, and it won't be good for the Baltimore Ravens.
Guys, I think there's a very obvious compromise here, which is this. I would give Lamar Jackson a 3-year, fully guaranteed deal, probably between $120 and $125 million, much the way Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed deal 5 years ago when he left Washington and went to Minnesota. Because here's what happened. When Deshaun Watson did his fully guaranteed contract with the Browns, Lamar Jackson sitting there saying, hey, you know what? Like, I've outplayed Deshaun Watson. I've been a league MVP. And I've been impeccable off the field. So I don't think there's any chance Baltimore or any other team is going to go to where Cleveland went to. However, if they shorten the deal and compromise and said, okay, Lamar, we'll give you a fully guaranteed deal, but we're going to go for 3 years, I think that's a really good landing spot for both parties in this situation.
All right, let's bring in Adam Schefter really fast, because he wants to add a little bit more to this conversation. Adam?
Well, Christine, I think Mike's point there is excellent. You have to look at different ways to approach this contract, right? And if it's a three-year fully guaranteed contract that maybe could satisfy both sides, that would be a win for both. Because right now, there are no wins anywhere for anybody. The Ravens don't have the quarterback that they want. Lamar doesn't have the deal that he wants. He doesn't seem to have the interest in the open market that he wants. And if things continue to go in this way, back to Bart's point, then Lamar Jackson doesn't have to sign his franchise tender. And he's approached this entire situation in an unconventional way. He likes to be his own man and make his own decisions without the help of an agent. Well, what is he going to do? Is he going to not sign that franchise tender? Because if he doesn't sign, he's not obligated to be at training camp. He can't get fined. He doesn't have to play in any games. He misses his salary. And basically, he stages an unofficial holdout without being under contract. But if he decides to sign that franchise tender, start the clock rolling towards the next year of free agency and still collect your $32.4 million, then he would be under contract to report to Baltimore. So really the primary options at this point in time are with Lamar and the Ravens, and they involve being in Baltimore. That's unless some other team comes up out of nowhere. And we're on March 28th, and teams have had close to a month now to make a run at Lamar, either through him or to talk to the Ravens. And to the best of our abilities, it doesn't seem as if either one of those things has happened.
This would be a question more for Tannenbaum, because I'm not really sure. But if Lamar Jackson decides that he's not going to sign, he sits out for a year, even if he decides to come back, the contract kicks in and they still own the same rights. It doesn't graduate him a granted or vested year. So he's still essentially in the same spot that he was in before he left. So the Ravens can still hold his rights for the next 2 years if they decide to. You know, I think, you know, and to Tannenbaum's point, you talk about 3 years, $125. That's $42 million a year. That's disrespectful to Lamar Jackson, especially when we anticipate Herbert probably getting close to $49.5 million. I think the right way to go is to look at Patrick Mahomes' deal, where the deal is so long that you can prorate it and play around with his hits on the salary cap, give him his $230 million guaranteed, but then make it a 10-year deal knowing that you're going to change the deal and have the ability to add money, just like Patrick Mahomes probably is going to get alterations to his 10-year deal because he's outplayed his contract.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So first of all, both sides have a lot to lose in game once the season gets here. Lamar's going to make almost $2 million a week. So I'm hard-pressed to think that he's going to miss a paycheck. Now, when he comes in, we got to remember they have a new offensive coordinator in Baltimore in Todd Monken. So for him to miss the entire offseason program, they're probably not going to get off to a good start. So that's something clearly the Ravens don't want to have. Now, once Lamar is there, all bets are off. You don't know, is he going to play through injury? You know, he could sit out or, as you said, Bart, have a sit-in if he has a minor hamstring issue. But he has to play at least six games in order to get the accrued season to get on to the next season. So there is a lot on both sides in terms of when he comes in, what happens. As it relates to the three-year deal, my point is if you go 3 years, it's a lot easier for a club to fully guarantee the entire contract. So maybe the number's a little light at 123, 124, you could figure that out. But the other point that Bart's bringing that's really important is it's not just Herbert, it's Jalen Hurts, who's extension eligible, and Joe Burrow. And I think those three guys are really going to push this market. So that's another reason if I'm the Ravens, I want to go sooner rather than later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Teddy, I'm going to ask you this. Bart was rolling his eyes off camera, but I'm going to start with you. Should the Jets pursue Lamar?
I say no. And why Joe Douglas is talking about disingenuous and to be bad business, probably because he knows who he's dealing with in Aaron Rodgers. In Aaron Rodgers coming from a place where, I mean, this is sort of an undone deal already. I mean, it's not formal, but this is what's happened. You've signed an offensive coordinator, probably specifically for me. You got my receiver. You have traded, all right, a receiver for a second-round pick. It's all setting up here, so this is what's going to happen. Now, I'm coming from a place, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, where I've spoken for 2 years about how they treat guys, all right, and how much it means to me. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is somewhat sensitive in terms of that? I would say yes. So I don't want my new potential quarterback coming in and then realizing that we were also trying to see what kicked the tires on Lamar Jackson because we didn't know if this was going to happen. This is going to happen in my mind. I'm speaking on the premise that this is a done deal. It's just a matter of time. It probably gets done in the draft, but I do not want to upset my potential quarterback coming in.
Publicly, I wouldn't. Privately, Joe Douglas coming for the Baltimore Ravens organization can probably have some off-the-record conversations, but you got to kick the can down the road to figure out, hey, what that compensation can be, especially on draft day. And the Jets have the ammunition to give them a first-round draft pick and still have a first-round draft pick this year. And all the people and the people out there watching Bart on TV, well, Bart, what are you talking about? They only got one. If they give up one, well, if you go to the old draft book that all the general managers and Uncle TB has, number 42 and 43 is equal to, or equivalent to, learned that in new college word, that's equal or equivalent to 17 in the pick. So that means the Jets essentially could trade those to somebody, say, at 20, 22, give them 42 and 43 and get another first-round draft pick, trade that first-round draft pick this year and next year's draft pick, and still holding on to 13. You talk about some high-end GM going on. TB know what I'm talking about. He's made plenty of those trades. He brought Brett Favre here. But what I'm saying is they have an opportunity. Listen, you're talking about A.A. Ryan for 1 year, Action Jackson for 10 years. So the whole thing about Rodgers is to try and save Zach Wilson. That's what that's about. Try and have Zach Wilson have a mentor for 2 years and see if we can stay face for the mistake potentially that we made in drafting Zach Wilson. I don't have to worry about that if I can turn Elijah Moore and pick in a future pick that's going to be bad if I got Action Jackson, you know, to a 10-year solution. I got to do it. Come on, Woody. That's big time.
You know, one of the other things I did as a general manager was I overpaid middle linebackers. Unfortunately, it wasn't you. It was Bark that I overpaid.
Yes.
But anyway.
That's why I call you Uncle TB.
Yeah. What I would do, though, if you guys are missing one other important yet subtle point here, if I was Joe Douglas, I would bring in Lamar Jackson because of a lot of the reasons Bart just mentioned. But we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be here past this year. Let's say Lamar Jackson somehow band-aids it, goes back to Baltimore. He'll be a free agent in 2024. Now, all of a sudden, if I brought him in this year, he already has met the staff, he's seen the facilities, and now I have a leg up and maybe have a succession plan where maybe it's Aaron Rodgers for 1 year, then it's Lamar long-term next year. So there's no competitive disadvantage if I'm the Jets to bring in Lamar Jackson and at least talk to him while I have the ability to do so.
That's my
this drama right that is Aaron Rodgers. This drama that is Aaron Rodgers is going to happen again next offseason, except for it's not going to be with the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be with the New York Jets, and that's the whole thing. He will not, I don't want to say, I mean, hold that team hostage or anything like that, but that's another sort of 2 months that the Jets will have to deal with. So, yeah, you're looking progressing ahead, but I think Aaron wants to continue to play. It's just this is a game. You have to play with Aaron Rodgers in the offseason every year. Now it's the New York Jets problem.
All right, before we let you guys go, Mike, you have your GM first round picks mock draft up on ESPN.com right now. You've got Bryce Young as a top pick over CJ Stroud. Why is that?
It's razor thin. I love Bryce Young. I love his accuracy, his poise, his production, 80 touchdowns. I think he's a better athlete than he's given credit for, Christine. He is a little bit small, but I think he makes up with great anticipation and accuracy. I like Stroud a lot. I just wish C.J. Stroud made a few more plays with his feet. He did against Georgia in the Peach Bowl, but it's really close, but I'm giving a slight edge to Bryce Young.
Okay, Bart, did you have anything to say? I saw you squinting and looking at the list a little bit.
Yeah, because I didn't see Richardson there. I thought Richardson would be great to sit behind Geno Smith for 2 years and potentially move up. And Will Levis at, you know, there. Are you telling me that the Mandalorian project is all over with Baby Yoda out there and Kyler Murray? Is it over with already?
Actually, the guy we should be talking about is Hendon Hooker, because Hendon Hooker has a much better body of work than Anthony Richardson. Started 37 games between Virginia Tech and Tennessee, led the nation in yards per pass attempt. Anthony Richardson's only started 13 games, and his accuracy is a big concern, guys. He was 115th in the nation in completion percentage a year ago.
Can't you get him at like 20, though? Can't you move down to get him? I don't know if that's a little rich at 5.
Well, Hendon Hooker it's a perfect situation with Geno Smith. Geno plays this year. Let Hendon Hooker rehab off of the ACL, and you'll have the quarterback for the next decade. I don't think Hendon Hooker's ability, when you watch him play against Alabama, Bart, I don't think he'll be there at 20.
Me and Mike are on the same page. I've been thinking this the whole entire time. Everybody's talking about Anthony Richardson. I'm like, what about Hendon Hooker? He's a baller.
I don't know about you, but I can't stop looking at Teddy's hair. I mean, it's awesome, man. It looks like a commercial.
Okay, Mike, thanks for joining us. Teddy and Bart, Teddy's good hair. We'll be back very soon. We got to get to some NBA, and you can check out more on this on our SportsCenter special at 5 Eastern on ESPN. All right, a highly anticipated meeting of two MVP frontrunners did not come to fruition as the 76ers ruled out center Joel Embiid against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic on Monday night. The Sixers decided to take a precautionary approach as Embiid has been dealing with a sore right calf. The Nuggets would go on to win the game 116-111. Now, in regards to winning a championship, JoJo gave his thoughts to The Athletic, saying, "People have been talking about who has the most pressure to win. People want to mention me. I'm not at the top of that list. I'm not a two-time MVP. I've never made first team All-NBA. I've never won anything. So why is there pressure on me to do something when there are guys that have won two MVPs and a bunch of MVPs and haven't done anything either?" We have JJ Redick and Jay Will here. I'm going to start with you, Jay Will.
I just want you to know that the look that JJ gave me in the green room is completely different than the look than when we walked on set.
What was he looking at you like?
The look on set seemed like he was trying to intimidate me. I don't like it.
Combative?
Yes, very combative.
So friendly?
Yeah. Combative. Combative. Competitive JJ now at the table.
We like that. We like when you get a little competitive. Who should I start with then, JJ or Jay Will?
Yeah, sure, I'll take the ball.
Let's start with Jay Will. Okay, do you agree with Joel Embiid?
No. I don't agree with Joel Embiid. Look, Joel Embiid is one of the best bigs the game of basketball has ever seen, right? So if he's one of the best bigs basketball has ever seen, let's go back to the 2019 playoffs. Like, J.J., I think you were on that team, correct? Jimmy Butler. Obviously, that was a game in which they lost. 2021, got swept by Boston in the first round. 2021, lose after being up double-digit points multiple times to the Atlanta Hawks, right? That was a series with Ben Simmons, and a lot of the fall happened to be on Ben Simmons in that series because he refused to shoot the basketball, correct? 2022, they lose in six to Miami. He gets hurt. I get it, but still, James Harden. Look at all the things that has happened with this team. We're talking about Joel Embiid being the MVP right now. We're talking about him saying, hey, Doc Rivers has been voted one of the NBA's top 15 greatest coaches of all time. There is pressure that comes along with that, especially when Joel Embiid, over the years, has talked about how much he wants to win the MVP award. If we're going to make things about the MVP, JJ, let's also make things about winning championships. Because at the end of the day, we care about winning championships. Joel Embiid cares about winning championships. We've seen it hurt. We've seen him in the tunnel after a loss to Toronto crying because it means that much. So, yes, there is pressure on MVP candidates to win championships. What has been the thing we talked about, Russell Westbrook? He's won MVPs, but he needs to win a championship. Why isn't that same strategy applied to Joel Embiid? So I hear what he's saying. He has a point to a degree, but at the end of the day, it is about championships for one of the best big men to ever play the game of basketball.
Jay, I want to point out something you said that is so true, and that is pressure is inherent. And when you're a star player, and when you're a franchise player, and when you're in the MVP conversation, or you're an all-NBA player, yeah, the pressure is there. It's always there. I actually agree with what he's saying here. He's not wrong. And Joel's a smart guy. He's trolling all of us right now. He is trolling all of us. There's two points I want to make. Number one, he brings up Jokic. Absolutely, there should be pressure on him, given that he's won two MVPs. Look, there should be pressure on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown right now. Because of what they did last season, The question is, Jason Tatum one of the guys that can be the best player on the best team? There's five of those right now active in the NBA. There should be more pressure on Luka. He should be talked about more. And obviously the Mavs have not done a good job building around him, but we give him a ton of praise. He hasn't won yet. He's been all NBA, you know, four straight seasons. The thing with Philly, though, and this is where I'll push back on Joel's comments a little bit. The thing with Philly, though, is they had the most recognized tanking process ever in NBA history. And the result of that, the year before they tanked, they lost in seven games in the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Boston Celtics. They have not got past that point in the playoffs yet. So when we talk about the pressure, I don't think the pressure's on Joel Embiid necessarily. The pressure is on the organization. The pressure is on Joel. It's on James Harden. It's on Doc Rivers. It's on Daryl Morey. That, to me, is the pressure. Anytime I've brought up this, and we've been asked this question about who has the most pressure this year in the play, to me, it's the 76ers. It's not Joel Embiid. It's the 76ers as an organization and what that future looks like beyond this season if they don't at least get to the conference finals. Because that is, to me, that's the marker. You've done a 10-year process, and you haven't advanced any further than you did the year before you started the process.
Here's what I don't understand. Why? Because this is not who you are. I mean, one of the first times you and I ever actually kicked it, you asked me about, you have the scoring record at Duke. You're like, Jay, if you actually stayed your fourth year, you think I would still have the scoring record. Like, I love that about you, Jay. You don't run away from pressure. You don't look at the word as pressure with a negative connotation. Why do athletes today run away from that? Embrace that, man. Own that. I'm going to turn that into crystals all day long. Sure, if you guys want all this extra sound about pressure and this fake manufactured media hype that you guys put on me, Joel Embiid leans back into it. He's one of the most outspoken players in the league now. So if you engage in that kind of talk, just engage in this one too. It's okay to have pressure. It's okay to be the guy in Philly. It's okay to want to be the MVP. It's okay. Give it to me. You know why? Because my shoulders can carry the weight. I don't understand why, you know, athletes today, we feel the need to run away from it. Kobe didn't run away from it. Michael didn't run away from it. You didn't run away from it. Why is it hard for people to own it?
Well, here's where I just think you're dead wrong on this. Joel Embiid has embraced the pressure. How has he not embraced the pressure of playing in Philadelphia and being literally in my phone? His name is Process Process. It's not Joel Embiid. It's Process Process. That's his input. He has embraced it more than anyone else in this 10-year run. I don't understand how he has not embraced it. What he's doing here, you have to know his personality. I can interpret what he's saying. He's trolling us. He's pointing out the fact that there are other players. We keep talking about the Sixers. We keep talking about him, all this pressure, MVP, blah, blah, blah. And there are other players that are not under the same scrutiny. And some of that is just because he plays in Philly and he has embraced that pressure. He has embraced that pressure. You bring up something about MVP championships. Like, since when? I don't remember a period of time. I was in the NBA 15 years. I grew up watching the league. I don't remember a period of time where the MVP conversation took center stage. It was the most important thing. It was the most important thing. Like, everything is about the – it's basketball. It's a team sport. It's about winning a championship. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the pressure. That, to me, is the pressure. You talk about pressure – that's on Jokic. That's on Tatum. That's on CP.
It's on
CP.
All of them. It's on
that's
everybody.
On James Harden. Right.
It's on everybody.
It's on everybody.
Yes.
It's on everybody. It's on everybody who hasn't won a championship, because that's all we're really playing for. It's not about the MVP, man. Separate from his comments. I just wanted to point that out.
I'm down with it being about winning championships, because at the end of the day, I could care less about the MVP. I can care less if Joker wins three times in a row and doesn't win. For me, if you win a championship, I think they're at an inflection point in Philadelphia. Now, you played there. You might know Philly better than me. But it seems like there's a lot on the line here this year.
Yeah.
You have James Harden has taken less money to be there. We'll see if he gets a bigger bag later down the stretch. You have Doc Rivers, who's voted one of the NBA's top 15 greatest coaches of all time. And he's been very much criticized throughout the process in playoffs. A lot of times with their rotations, a lot of guys off the bench. There's been a lot of questions around that. And you have Joel Embiid, who's had injuries at the beginning of his career, who's now playing his best basketball. And you're wondering, how long can this guy stay healthy? Are the Philadelphia 76ers doing everything around him to surround him with the pieces to win a championship while we're seeing Milwaukee play at a high level, while we're still seeing the Celtics play at a high level? So, yes, there is pressure. Maybe he is trolling. That's fine. I'm not taking anything away from him. I just want people to run towards it. That's all.
I totally agree with you that this will be an inflection point. This playoff run, this offseason in the Philadelphia, with the Philadelphia 76ers, because of the things you just mentioned. Doc Rivers, he's one of a few coaches that has blown a 3-1 series lead in the NBA. He's the only one to do it multiple times. He's done it three times. There's been points in time in James Harden's career. He's certainly had some great series where he has gone away the last couple games and not played to his standard. And Joel Embiid, his injuries that you brought up. Like, all these things, if they don't get to at least the conference finals, yeah, I think there's going to probably be some changes. This won't be the same core group of people that come back next year in Philly if they don't reach the conference.
Can I go off script for 1 second? Just because I want to address it, because I think we're done on the Joel Embiid thing. But I really want to hear how you think about this one. Hmm. Charles Barkley on 60 Minutes. I love Uncle Chuck. That is my guy. But when I hear him call our generation of players sensitive, mm-hmm. right? The only moment I'm going to have where I drop the mic here is the greatest player of all time. Regardless, if you want to, for me, that's LeBron James. If you want to have it to be Michael Jordan, fine. Michael Jordan, the guy who can win through any situation, the guy who is tougher than nails itself, refuses to talk to Charles Barkley because of a criticism he had against him as it relates to being ownership. So if that is the epitome of toughness in his generation, it looks like maybe this is all players of all different generations who use criticism as sensitivities to motivate us to be better. I just want to state that, JJ.
NBA players are amongst the most sensitive people in the world.
That's what makes us
Facts.
Great.
And I would just say this to Chuck's comments. Players in different eras, they have no idea what we've gone through over the last 15, 16 years since social media. Social media has totally changed the paradigm around the attention, the criticism, the pressure, all of this stuff. This show itself, come on, man. Like, our era has grown up with this as our reality. That era, they had to deal with beat reporters, mm-hmm. talk radio. I mean, come on. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. We live a digital life. Every single person lives a digital life. You can't escape it now.
Exactly.
I love that conversation. All right, we got to get to break. You guys will be back very shortly.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Women's College Basketball Final Four is set. The 3-seed LSU will be taking on Virginia Tech, while 1-seed South Carolina will match up against the 2-seed Iowa. Iowa hasn't been to the Final Four since 1993. LSU is back for the first time in 15 years, and Virginia Tech has never been. South Carolina looking to defend their national title. Here is our friend Monica McNutt with more.
South Carolina continued their dominance because of their depth. This is the box score. Literally, they put 12 players into the ballgame as they were able to advance over Maryland. This is a team that gets 30 points off of their bench. By far the most of any team left still dancing in the women's championship. And for the team that they're going to see when they get to Dallas, you know, a matchup of the favorites for player of the year, Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston, they get 12 points from their bench. So as much as this is about the star power of those two players, it might be dictated by the benches.
Thank you, Monica. South Carolina continues to lead the way as the overwhelming favorite with odds set at -340. LSU has the second shortest odds at plus 600. The Lady Tigers fell to South Carolina earlier this season, 88-64 in Columbia. You can see the Final Four right here on ESPN starting at 7 p.m. on Friday. All right, over to the NFL. The Patriots are coming off of an 8-9 season and haven't won a playoff game since taking down the Rams in Super Bowl 53 on February 3rd, 2019. It has also been 3 seasons since Tom Brady took his talents to Tampa. So Mike Reese had a pointed question for Bill Belichick yesterday.
What would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
Last 25 years.
New England has the 24th longest odds to win the 2023 Pro Football Championship at plus 7,000. Head coach Bill Belichick will have another opportunity to work his magic in the 2023 NFL Draft with New England's 11 selections. We have some friends here once again. Bart Scott, I'm going to ask you this. What is the Patriots' ceiling, in your opinion?
After years and years of being tormented by the New England Patriots, I take no pleasure in saying this. I think their ceiling is pick 16th in the NFL draft. This is the first time where, listen, life after a Hall of Fame generational talent is always hard, and everybody within the division had to deal with it. Tom Brady tormented this division year after year after year, and now I feel like the Patriots are where the Spurs were after Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard left. I think they're searching for an identity. They always had the best coaches, had their players prepared for the situations. They had the most versatile players, guys that can do everything. Now it's different, and now they have the fourth best quarterback within the division. Life after Jim Kelly wasn't so pretty. You know, the Jets are still trying to find out and figure out life after Joe Namath. That wasn't pretty. The Dolphins think maybe they finally have a answer, but it's a lot more questions with life after Dan Marino. Welcome to the party, Patriots. You're normal just like the rest of us. And I understand the last 25 years, but it reminds me of when, you know, the great Emmanuel Lewis, the crunk trainer, was training Emmanuel Lewis. I mean, he was training, Lennox Lewis, and he's fighting Mike Tyson. And he said, don't you realize that's a dead man in front of you? This isn't the Patriots of old. This is the big bad wolf. Number 12 isn't there to save the day. It's nothing to fear but fear itself. And I think the rest of the division has realized that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Bart. I mean, 2 years ago, they get Mac Jones. And Mac Jones, Bill puts together a year where they go to the playoffs with Mac Jones. They don't succeed in the playoffs by far, but still, that's a playoff appearance. Okay, last year there was a lot of problems in terms of that offensive unit, especially a young quarterback in Mac Jones looking to see who the lead voice is. Was it one of three guys? Is it Judge? Is it Patricia? Belichick coming in, giving in his two cents. There was too many voices, okay? Now that's cleaned up, because last year that was a wash, basically, because of some of the decisions that Bill made himself, all right? This year, Bill O'Brien's back in, and there's a little bit more structure for that offensive unit in terms of, this is the voice that I have now. There's Bill O'Brien. He's our offensive coordinator, and he'll tell Bill, like, I got this, man. We don't need all of the meddling. That's what Bill O'Brien will bring. I think the ceiling for the Patriots this year is the playoffs. There were four teams last year that won only 9 games, but still they were in the playoffs in the NFC and the AFC. Can the Patriots, go 9-8? Can Mac Jones have a very improved year with more structure for a young quarterback? I believe so. I mean, usually it's championship perspective in terms of looking at the New England Patriots, but that's changed. And you're right, Bart, that is pretty much over, because, the Joe Burrow in the Bengals, I mean, Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs, who in their own division with the Buffalo Bills are, with Josh Allen, that's the big three in the AFC, if you ask me. And if they complete the Aaron Rodgers deal in New York, there's another championship contender in the New York Jets. They can contend for the division against the Bills, if you ask me, with the defense that they have. So, can the Patriots be trying to scrap and claw for 9 wins when it comes late December or late, week 16, week 17? I think it's possible. I think my expectations for Mac Jones are very high this year, for him to have a bounce back year compared to the way he looked last year. So the ceiling, I think, is a playoff appearance for the Patriots, but it'd still be, a positive season that I think they can get.
Okay, Teddy, I want to ask you this. What did you think of Coach Belichick's comments?
Refer to 25 years, it caught me off guard. I laughed, and it also caught me off guard because it's not consistent with the message that he's given to the organization himself. I mean, to players himself, when you're in the locker room and you're in the team meeting room and he says, I don't care what you did in the past, when you're in the very first meeting for a new season, Super Bowl or playoffs or All Pro or Pro Bowl or leading the league and whatever, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. And that's who I know him to be. And so maybe that reaction that I have right now is basically the fault of Bill Belichick, because he taught me too well. This is the way I see it, that even holding accountable your head coach to the message that he tries to portray publicly to Mike Reese asked that question, and Mike Reese is a reporter for ESPN that is always just looking for positivity and hope to give the fans, and you want to reflect on 25 years. It's something I definitely, if I saw Bill in the locker room and I walked by him and I joke with him about it, I'd say, 25 years, huh? Are we talking about 25 years now? So hopefully someone can sort of tell him that. I'm not in there anymore. I only can tell him through this venue here, but definitely off message if you're a former Bill Belichick player like I am.
Teddy, what I've always appreciated about the Patriots, how fluid the organization was. They've showed us different ways how to win championships, two tight ends, receivers, great defense, run game. And it seems like Bill has always had the answers. How important is this year for Mac Jones, and should they be in the running for Lamar Jackson? Not this year, but next year, as you heard Tannenbaum say, that he expects maybe this to happen the same way. Because Meek Millie told Kraft that he should go out and get Lamar Action Jackson.
I know, I saw that. And you know this just like me, that quarterbacks are sensitive people. And so you've got a quarterback, and you sort of played with his mind a little bit last year in Mac Jones. And I've already expressed to you how I feel, how Mac Jones can be so much better than he was last year. You want to throw this in the mix because, I mean, if you go for Mac Jones, I mean, he's got to be in the deal, right? I mean, you can't keep Mac Jones and have Lamar Jackson. It'd be Mac Jones, it'd be a number one overall pick, and you're trying to start all over again, and you're going to pay a player close to $200 million. I do not see that. I think Bill sees Mac as someone that it was a direct result of decisions that he made himself that affected Mac emotionally last year. So fixing all that, and I think he wants to get a clear picture of who Mac Jones is this year, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Bart, you said that the Patriots are human again. I want to read you something. The last time the Patriots entered the season with at least 50-1 odds was 2001. What happened that season?
2001?
Yes.
We won it. That's these guys right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right here.
Way to go, Bruce.
That's a champion. Right. That's right.
Did you just, first of all, I know you got three of those pictures. Did you just happen to do that one after the production meeting? Did you just move that one picture there? Because I know you got multiple.
No.
Sure.
I leave the first fellas up there. That's my 0-1 squad right there.
No doubt. I tell you what, though, Bill's going to have to do a better job in general manager. Because really, when you look at the talent within the division, it's not just the lack of talent at the quarterback position, it's the lack of premium players. I'm curious to see if they'll be in a running for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins to bring some certified studs over there. But they have a lack of talent issue, not just at the quarterback position, but throughout the roster.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens with that situation. Teddy, do you want to add something? You can go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, him as a general manager. Judon was a big hit in terms of what he's done for them the last couple of years, bringing him over from Baltimore. But definitely what he did a couple of years ago, Aguilar, Janu, I mean, those type of guys really didn't pan out. But Judon's been a hit, but he really needs to start bringing in players here that he has to hit on for him to have success toward his sort of trek to getting Don Shula for the all-time wins mark.
Okay, perfect. We'll see what happens.